Good morning. I'm Crystal Leedy, and I'm joined by Lee Knox. And we're here to talk about a program happening this Saturday, November 14th, in Beaverton, at the Unity of Beaverton Church. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. And you are one of the people who are involved in the Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium, is that right?
That's right.
Would you tell us a little bit about what's that and then...
Oh, it's a wonderful experience. I guess the word now is multimedia. There are video clips of people from like Van Jones, Archbishop Tutu, Julia Butterfly Hill, Thomas Berry, lots of really fine people. And then there's interaction during the course of the symposium with other participants, as well as some lecture type time and slides also.
So people,
and refreshments.
Oh, and refreshments.
Really good refreshments.
Ooh, well, what are the refreshments? But it sounds like people then will not just be sitting passively. They will be able to interact with other participants.
That's right. And there are several opportunities to stand up and move around and think, and even some moments of meditation and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's very nice. You know, I was doing some reading on the Pachamama beliefs because I myself am attracted to belief systems focusing on the Great Mother. They're certainly not warlike, and as Rianne Eisler has written in The Great Turning, women and men who respect them will lead the way to a caring economics and a caring world, I guess. So what are some of the specifics that people will be hearing about in this?
Well, the symposium actually grew, or it was developed by an organization called the Pachamama Alliance, which is a San Francisco-based nonprofit organization, basically founded in order to respond to the cry or the call from the Achuar people in the Amazon rainforest. The Achuar people, the elders in the Achuar tribe, several years ago started having dreams and visions about the destruction that was coming to them.
Ah.
And of course they also could see in their neighbors' lands what was happening, particularly with oil companies, as well as other destruction that most of us know about that is happening in the rainforest. And so they actually, in a very, very brave manner, chose to reach out to us in the modern world and asked if we could form basically a cooperative venture to help them deal with the modern world. These are some people who are the most removed of many, probably worldwide. They're some of the last to meet the modern world, indigenous people. It's been relatively a short time, probably only a generation, I think.
Oh, my.
Since the Achuar have had much contact. And they didn't want their lands destroyed, as so many of their neighbors were. And, of course, eventually realized that we're talking about saving the whole planet and the whole human race if we don't save particularly the rainforest, because of its kind of the lungs of the planet, then we won't have a planet. At least we won't have one that's anything like what we have today. And so they bravely reached out, and from a small group of people that were taken down by John Perkins, the one who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he, Lynn, and Bill Twist actually founded the Pachamama Alliance to work with the Achuar and in protecting their lands for all of humanity, basically. And then they began to realize that you can't protect the rainforest without changing the whole way we see the world in the modern, well, I guess we call it the West, but the modern world, the world that has created all of our big cities and huge smokestacks and all of the pollution and so forth, the way we live that's not at all in touch with nature anymore. And so they realized that we have to change the dream of the modern world, and that's what the symposium grew out of.
Oh, I'm so impressed with that, because, yes, we who are living in this world that's being degraded by too much of so many things.
Too much of everything.
Too much of everything, yeah. We can see it, but these folks who were, as you say, who were so isolated, and they were seeing destruction happening to some other people, other villages in the area,
right,
and
right.
so knew something not good was coming their way.
Right, right.
And
right.
they had the courage to reach out to...
to the enemy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, I think, you know, yeah.
Yes.
Must have taken a lot of courage.
Yes, I can only imagine. Yeah. And the fellow that you mentioned, whose name I'm forgetting right now...
John Perkins.
Yes. He was one of the first then to actually be able to talk to them, or...
Yes, it's kind of a lengthy story, but... There were people who spoke Spanish as well as the native language of the Achuar, and so he was able to make contact. There's actually another man, an Ecuadorian, whom I met in the spring, who was just a wonderful person.
You traveled down there in the spring.
Yes, with the Pachamama Alliance, I traveled to Ecuador, and this man with John together. Out of that grew the need, and it was through John that invited these 12 people, two of whom were Lynn and Bill Twist, who then came the Pachamama Alliance, then eventually came the symposium, which, by the way, I think the first symposium was given sometime in 2005. It's now given basically all over the planet. There's a wonderful story about a man in West Africa who took it to a village, his own village. He saw what was happening. They were chopping down all the trees, and somehow, I don't even know how he knew about it. They didn't even have electricity. This man had to sell basically everything he owned to get a generator and the equipment to show the films and so forth. And the result was that the elders in the community said, no, we're not going to chop down any more of our forest.
Oh, that's
devotion, isn't it?
Well, and to think that this person... himself from that native village or from Africa?
Yes, he was. Yes. He was from, yeah. As I say, I don't know the whole thing. He might have been in school in a larger town or whatever. I don't even know how he heard about
but
it.
But he did.
But somehow he did. And he made it happen. So there are a lot of people who are very committed to the symposium as a way of helping people realize how much they can do.
Well, it sounds like there's a really good organization, and as you say, they are having symposiums all over the earth now.
Even several have already been done in China, which I think is really important.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Really important.
We don't want them to follow our lead.
No, they may have. Well, it's never too late, is it?
Right.
You hear, that may not be true, but you hear the information and then you act on it.
Right.
So I'm glad
right.
to know that China is doing
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I've been told that in New Zealand, because they have a wonderful president, a year or so ago, the decision was made that every person who worked for the government of New Zealand was to participate in a symposium.
Very interesting. I wonder how the indigenous Maori feel toward that. That would be
a particularly interesting,
wouldn't
you know,
it? Yes.
To see how they're relating. I'm sure that they are relating, you know, even more than we would, probably saying, see, we told you so.
Yeah.
you should have been listening to us 200 years ago.
I wouldn't doubt it, because they, I've been to New Zealand, and they certainly do have something to say about what at least Western civilization has brought them. So I can imagine they would be.
Right.
Yes. Well, so I understand that the symposium is organized around four key questions, and I'm wondering, how did those questions get, what are they, and how did those questions get developed?
I think that my guess is that there were some amazing meetings of folks when they were developing this and working with, they probably worked with all kinds of, all of these, so many people that are parts of the videos and so forth, because the goal of the symposium, and then I'll get to your
sure.
earlier question, is to have a human presence on the planet that is environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just.
I noticed that the symposium is organized around four key questions. Where are we? How did we get here? What is possible for the future? And where do we go from here? So how are you going to deal with that at the symposium, Lee?
Well, it's, as I said, it's challenging, and it's an opportunity to listen to some of our own wise people, mm-hmm. by the way. It's not like all wisdom is indigenous wisdom. Of course, we all were indigenous originally.
Yes.
And I think the point is that we have to see where we've come from in order to know where we're going, and that we have to know, you know, what came before, where we are now, and what we can do to change it. And I think it's a pretty safe bet, although some of the facts that come out during the symposium, I might not have known every single one the first time I went, but most of us, it's not like this is news. We know that there's been clear cutting all over the planet forever, and we know here in the Northwest that I believe we're down to something like 3% of the ancient forest that we still have here. That's pretty darn slim.
Yes,
and so we need to know all of that and then look at, okay, what do we do? How do we change our minds and our dreams and our way of looking at looking at the whole world?
Yes, well, and as you say that, it makes me think also that, yes, we who live in the Pacific Northwest, most of us who care about the environment are very aware of things that are going on here. And so I suppose there'll be a chance to talk a little bit more in depth about what's happening here and how can we change it right here. In other words, it's kind of local based is
there's that component. I mean, I think that no matter what we're doing, when we're paying attention to the experience and so forth, we need to be thinking, what about my own backyard? What can I do there? The symposium, I think, is perhaps more geared towards information on a global scale or a larger scale. But certainly we have plenty of examples of good and bad right here in our own backyard.
Oh, we do. Yeah. You know, it's as above, so below. Here in our little corner of the planet, right. We're doing our best, but there's a lot more we can learn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we can't bring back those thousand-year-old trees. And at the rate we're chopping down trees on the rest of the planet, no wonder we've got the problems we have. So
yeah, that's a very serious one, I think, the loss of the rainforests. And of course we have at least in the Northwest, some good protections. I was reading about the Devil's Staircase, which is
down in Utah.
It's in the Coast Range of Oregon.
Really? No, I don't. Yeah.
And there are people trying to work to have it preserved so there won't be any cutting in there, and it's very hard to get to. But there was a picture that I saw that made me think, oh, yes.
I know, and thank you to the people who are locally enough involved to realize that it needs to be protected. I haven't even heard of that, that's wonderful to know that people are working to protect it.
Yes, I'm not a native of this area. I'm from the East Coast, so when I got here, I was really impressed with how much the people here locally do care about their environment. And of course, I came here when Tom McCall was in a screening. So.
Well, I wish we could reincarnate him and clone him.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Hey. He certainly was wonderful.
Another thing, though, I think is great is that this really does respect the wisdom of the elders, because not all of these folks that we're talking about in the Pachamama Alliance are kids. There's elders
yes. And it was the elders of the Achuar who realized, both in dream and vision, and of course they did also have they were getting the word and realizing what was happening around them, but they knew that something very big was coming that would destroy their home and their way of being, and they wanted to save their culture. And I think that it was a very brave move on their part.
Oh, yes, it was. I remember some years ago in another part, I believe, of South America, there was a group of indigenous people, and they called themselves the elder brothers, and we from our civilization were the younger brothers, and they were also reaching out to say,
I mean, and I think that there are, and one of the things that all our wonderful listeners will see on Saturday is the amazing number of people all over the planet who are doing wonderful things to turn things around. I think we're getting pretty close, hopefully, to the positive tipping point of realizing that we can. I mean, it's certainly the biggest challenge humanity has ever faced. And Lynn Twist has a great line. She says, "Together we are a genius."
Oh, I like that. I like that. We're talking this morning with Lee Knox, who is part of the group that is bringing to Portland Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium. And that's going to be, let me see, this Saturday, November 14th, at the Unity of Beaverton Church. Is that right?
It's at Fifth and Angel in Beaverton, right downtown Beaverton.
Downtown Beaverton, mm-hmm. That's good.
And they can go to the awakeningthedreamer.org website. You can sign up there. If they have any questions, I'd be glad to talk with them also.
Great, great. And I see there is a suggested donation of $10, but you say no one will be turned away
for lack of funds.
And I do notice that you were saying something about snacks and drinks provided.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's from 10 to 2:30, so actually we're hopefully going to have a little bit heavier duty snacks than just a quick cracker or whatever, but...
Mm-hmm. But you'll take care of the people.
You won't starve.
That's good to know. Well, so these symposiums I'm reading here on one of your fact sheets have been, the global initiative has been offered in 18 countries so far at a grassroots level.
Yes, almost everybody who works presenting symposiums here in Portland, we're all volunteers. We pay to be trained to be presenters and get the DVDs and all the, you know, the media stuff that we need to in order to present them. Not everybody is a presenter that's in our local group, and we'd love to have more people working with us. Also, we can do a symposium in a living room, and that would be a real pleasant way of doing it, just with a small group of people. And we've done it a couple of times at the Better Living Show with a large group, as mm-hmm. large as 100, I think we had one time. So they can be small to big.
Yeah. And in terms of it being smaller, and I imagine there's a limited amount of space for your symposium, but small groups have the luxury of really allowing the participants to speak
and interact. That's right. That's right. So we hope this one will be fairly large, but and we've got a little bit of flexibility in the time for this Saturday. So I think we'll have plenty of time to share with each other.
Yeah,
and we've got folks coming already that I know of from Corvallis and Bend, so it isn't just Portland area.
Well, that's great that you got the word out and people are going to show up. I noticed that this symposium is also endorsed by one of my favorite people, Joanna Macy.
Yes, yeah. yes. She's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. She is. She's another person working for the greater good.
Yes,
Rhianne Eisler, what's his name, Corton, I can't remember his first name, but so many people that are tuned in.
And you become aware of how many fine folks we have to learn from in the course of the symposium. As I say, when, you know, Archbishop Tutu, of course, he's so cute too.
Well, but, and to know that you're a part of a larger group, I mean, I think that is so important for us sometimes. I mean, we're working, and we don't know what effect we're having, and then we meet other people who are doing the same things.
And there are wonderful things that have happened even locally. There was a person who attended the symposium, and he has started. I think it's RIF, and now I can't remember exactly what that stands for. But there are certainly things that have happened as a direct result of the symposium all over the planet. You know, I mentioned the guy, you know, the people in Africa who decided not to cut down their forests any, or at least not anymore. And so there are wonderful things like that happening everywhere.
Yes, so you do hear stories of people who've been inspired to change activity.
To change the way they see things.
Yes, yes.
And that's what, and I'll tell you, I bump into my own thoughts and stuff with some regularity. I will say I tried to hang laundry all over the house the other day, and that didn't work real well when it was raining.
Oh, but I know what you mean, you know? Yeah. Inspiration is so good. I was inspired by some folks. We just have a pretty much a regular-sized lot over in Vancouver, but we now have two fine little chickens who are laying eggs for
good
us.
Good for you.
Yeah. And good, the neighbors are fine about it, and we can trade fruit for eggs and all of that.
That's great.
It is.
And that's right in a suburban kind of neighborhood.
In a suburban kind of neighborhood,
That is wonderful. That's really nice to hear, Crystal.
Well, and part of something like this is that we do get to hear each other's stories
and know what people are doing.
Well, let me see. I've had so many questions, but are there some things we haven't covered that you would like to make sure we talk about?
No, I think the big thing is I'd love to have people take a look at the website. There is a trailer there that is inspiring and gives you a little bit of an idea, feel for what will happen during the symposium. Let's see. I can't. So awakeningthedreamer.org, and then the parent organization, if you will, is just pachamama.org.
Ah, okay. And, what will people get if they go to pachamama.org? What sort of things will they
get? A little bit more information about the Achuar. As I think I alluded earlier, that they do take groups of people, small groups of people. They have helped. One of the things that has been developed is a lovely eco lodge on one of the major tributaries of the Amazon.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And believe me, it is such a pleasure to spend time there. If somebody who's listening hasn't ever been to the rainforest, the sounds alone are so incredibly wonderful. And it takes, you know, I don't know, hours in a canoe after a small plane, a couple of small planes and so forth. I mean, you really feel like you're away from it all, and it's wonderful. I didn't want to leave.
But it's, and I'm sure it is, what is the way I want to say this? The lodge is eco-friendly.
Oh, yes, yes. There's no, they don't even, any electricity. Well, there is a little bit of
generator
or something that they use, but most everything is by solar, and if it rains you don't get a hot shower. and even the waste is taken out, which of course is expensive because it's taken out by plane.
I never thought of that.
But you know, they don't want to be trashing up the area either,
right? So. And well, that leads to a whole other question, which will probably come up in the symposium, of how do you get rid of human waste, I guess you're talking about.
I mean human waste. Can they have composting?
They can compost
and stuff.
That
there are ways to actually, there's some amazing developments in that arena. I even saw one down in one of the forests down in Southern Oregon recently.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear this, because I've traveled in Mexico, and anyone who has in inland knows about the smelly basuras, the smelly basuras that are frequently by the side of the road.
Yeah. yes. No, but that's it is definitely part of human life.
Oh, it is. We can't deny that. Well, this has been a lot of fun for me, Lee. I'm so glad that you could come today, and once again,
it's been a delight for me.
Oh, likewise, definitely. So we've been talking about the upcoming Pachamama, a seminar this coming Saturday, November 14th, and you've given
10 to 2:30,
and why don't you give your website one more time so that people can learn more there as well?
awakeningthedreamer.org.
Okay, thank you so much. And to all our listeners, thank you for listening today to this program.